Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, we've done shows about rehabilitating injured shoulders because probably one of the most popular, and unfortunately that's probably the wrong word to use, but true, injuries that people will sustain during their career of training is a shoulder injury. And if you've ever encountered a shoulder injury, as I have, you realize that it never really goes away. You're always at some point in time where you're either recovering from re-injuring it or trying to avoid re-injuring it. And working around shoulder injuries is a required skill if you want to continue to make progress in the gym. Well, lo and behold, my guest today is a national bodybuilding competitor with one of the most astounding chests I've ever seen on a young man like him. And he is actually a recovering injured shoulder guy like the rest of us, PJ Braun. How you doing, PJ?
Hey, Carl. How are you?
Good. Very good.
So, thank you for the kind words, by the way. I appreciate the chest compliment.
When I look, if you go to PJ's website, pjbraun.com, pjbraun.com, and look at the pictures of him, you will not say, well, this guy needs to work on his chest. He's got an amazingly thick, wide, and deep chest. The tie-ins to his shoulders are beautiful. And for those of you who aren't into bodybuilding that listen to my show because of the anti-aging and health portion of it, you know, you want to take advice from a guy who makes a living building his body. And PJ has one of the best chests I've ever seen. And I come to find out that the poor guy injured his shoulders quite a while ago and has always had to work around shoulder injuries. And you ask yourself, how does somebody build a chest like that with shoulder injuries? So I figured, hey, let's get him on the show and let's steal a couple pages from his book. So with that being said, tell us, how did you injure your shoulders, first of all?
Well, I've actually injured both shoulders, the left and right. The left one I dislocated once younger in high school, and it made a very, 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 I would say, close to 100% recovery. The right one, unfortunately, I actually dislocated, believe it or not, four times, twice playing football, and a third time in a competitive powerlifting competition on a heavy bench press. It was a bench press that was about 20 pounds more than I guess I should have gone for. But I was feeling very good, and I trusted my coach's judgment. Now, when I was competing in this powerlifting competition, I was wearing a bench press suit.
I was going to ask you that. Were you wearing a shirt? Right.
Now, the shirt keeps your scapula pinched back, which is actually supposed to prevent really anything like that from happening. But I came out of my groove,
And
the way that the weight came down, it actually dislocated my shoulder out the back of the joint, which is very uncommon, they say. That one took me out of the gym for quite a while. I tore my labrum on that one, and I opted to not have surgery. I made a very good recovery, although I still had a good deal of pain in that shoulder, and I was able to train around it for a long time until 4 or 5 years ago. It was a freak accident in the gym spotting somebody squatting. It was a woman who happened to be squatting 185, not a tremendous amount of weight, but she let the weight fall off her back. And, you know, proper positioning when you're spotting someone is to have your arms out basically around their waist.
Right.
The weight fell right into my arms and tore my shoulder right out of the socket again.
Hey, PJ, make sure you're talking right into the handset of your phone. I know that you're doing this interview from your cell phone. Just make sure you talk right into the handset because you got low for a second there, okay?
My apologies.
No problem. So the weight actually fell into your arms like if you were cradling the bar as it was coming down.
Yes, and as I said, it was only 185 pounds, but if you think about the velocity traveling from someone, you know, 5'7", 5'8", down to, you know, a couple feet, it's traveling pretty fast, and that one was really bad. You could actually see that my shoulder was pretty far out of the socket. It was kind of like hanging by a thread, I described it.
Now, when you dislocate your shoulder, for those of you out there who have never dislocated a shoulder, every time you dislocate your shoulder, you increase the play and laxity in the joint. You also damage or injure the rotator cuff, correct?
That is correct.
So every time you dislocate your shoulder, you really are doing permanent damage to the joint.
Exactly.
Okay. Because a lot of people think, oh, you pop it back in, you're ready to go. Okay, so after you injured your shoulder, or each of these times, did you have to take off from training chest and shoulders?
I did. You know, most of the times in the past, it was perhaps 6 weeks or so of rehabilitation, and pretty extensive rehabilitation. I would go three times a week. I had a connection with HealthSouth at the time. A client of mine was running a HealthSouth, so I could really go in for as much rehab as I wanted. So I was able to maximize that, get myself back. The fourth one, unfortunately, the MRI had read that my labrum was basically disintegrated. He had showed me what a labrum's supposed to look like. It's a round, circular piece of cartilage that goes around the end of your humerus bone and provides that cushioning in the joint. He said that mine was basically frayed completely. It looked like a sun rather than a circle, like if a little kid, the way they saw a sun.
Wow. Wow.
His opinion, and I actually trust this doctor very much. He was the team physician for the Minnesota Vikings, and he repaired my bicep when I tore it when I was 19 years old, and I never had any issues with that. He had told me that, in his opinion, it wouldn't even be worth doing the surgery unless I were going to give up bodybuilding.
Now, that's an important distinction. So is it your opinion that surgery should be a last-ditch effort because it really does take you out of being able to train again?
Yes.
Wow. Because I know there's people that are going for shoulder surgery right now that are listening to this show for that reason.
Shoulder injuries, surgery or not, will never be the same. You can get back quite a bit of function, but it will never be the same. And if you are somebody that's very active and you can heal this injury without going through the surgery, to an extent where you're able to do what it is you like to do, that is the way to go, because I've talked to numerous people that have had shoulder surgeries because of the pain that they were in and were very disappointed in after the surgery how they were never the same again. And it's not that you can go and have the surgery and be 100%. The surgeries that they do are made for people that live regular lives, that work on a computer or, you know, if they're not going to be super, super active, you'll be fine because you're not going to be taxing the joint.
Right.
If you're somebody that's working out or you're very active, you play racquetball, you play basketball, anything where you're going to be doing a lot of overhead movements, external rotation, abduction, adduction, things like that, your shoulder will never truly be the same again.
Right. And I have a theory about shoulder development. The let's just use, for lack of better terms, this terminology. Let's say the shoulder muscles equal 100%. And the injured portion of the shoulder is 30%.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 70% of functioning shoulder muscles, and this 30% is compromised because of this injury. If you build your shoulder muscles, your all three heads of the shoulder up, so that now this 100% is larger, now the injured portion is no longer 30% of the complete shoulder muscle, it's only 10%. So I really think that the key to overcoming shoulder injuries is actually to continue to find ways to progress the growth and strength of your shoulders to compensate for the injured portion.
This is very similar to actually what my surgeon had told me. He had felt that because my muscles were so developed and I had such control of my muscles, if over time I could tolerate the pain, which I could, if I could keep the individual smaller muscles, you know, the anterior, posterior, medial head of my deltoid, as well as the smaller muscles in the back, the teres major and minor, which play an important role. If I could keep these muscles very strong, that I could compromise for my injury because I would have such a strong foundation around the joint.
Exactly.
And as long as I was smart with my range of motion and with my form when I was training and didn't get crazy with weights that I couldn't handle, I should be fine. And when he told me that, you know, that was all I needed to take things into my own hands at that point.
Right. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our first commercial break. When we come back, PJ has laid out the 10 points for building a massive chest around injured shoulders, because let's face it, any of us who have injured shoulders know that they're always injured. So this is an important show. You're going to want to listen to it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. PJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to PJBraun.com today. That's PJBraun.com. Confused about which creatine product to take? Ancient Strength solves that problem. Ancient Strength combines the three most effective forms of creatine, creatine monohydrate, creatine phosphate, and creatine pyruvate, into a single product. Ancient Strength will propel your workouts to amazing new levels. Ancient Strength will give you the strength of your ancestors so you can push through those plateaus, eke out those last few reps that are the most productive in building new muscle. Get Ancient Strength today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Harness the strength of your ancestors with Ancient Strength. Turinabol from primordialperformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development. A company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get your today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is PJ Braun. We're talking about how to build a massive chest around injured shoulders, because this guy has done it and he does it for a living. Okay, where do we start, PJ?
Okay, now, the order that I'm going to read this to you is not necessarily in order of importance. I want to make that clear. But
okay.
It's basically the order that I would like it to be addressed.
Okay.
If you can start by addressing these things from the beginning, it can actually help you in the long run quite a bit. Number one and two go hand in hand. Number one is proper posture, and number two is proper scapula positioning during exercise.
Okay, and this probably even goes for not just when training chest and shoulders, but doing movements like curls where you're standing, because that activates the shoulders as well.
Exactly.
Okay.
All upper body exercises should actually be done with what the slang term is actually military posture.
Okay.
And when you have military posture, your scapula are positioned back and down. when you pull your scapula, when you retract your scapula back and down, your back muscles will be contracted fairly hard. And a good way to feel this is to get in a seated row and, you know, put a light amount of weight on and do a seated row and hold the contraction when your hands are in by your waist and feel what you feel. Your chest is going to be elevated up,
right,
angled up to the sky, and your elbows are going to be pinched back. Your shoulders are going to be pinched back. Everything is going to be very, very tight. Now, from this position, you'll see that your chest is going to be quite opened up. It's going to be expanded and almost stretched out. A lot of people that have shoulder injuries have poor posture. They are internally rotated. You'll notice their shoulders slope forward.
That's me. That's
now,
me. Yeah.
Postural imbalances are one of the biggest reasons for shoulder injuries because you impinge all these muscles in the front. Everything in the back is stretched out, but everything in the front is impinged. And eventually these imbalances translate into injuries. And they affect you in your training as well. You can see it all the time when you see a guy get off of a set of heavy bench presses, and the first thing they do is grab the front of their shoulder. And you'll notice the guy has big anterior delts, but he's very sloped forward.
Right.
Now, these things can be corrected by posture, by simply learning to focus on your posture throughout the day. Keep your chest expanded and lifted up, and translate that into the gym using it in all your exercises, whether it's a bicep curl, a tricep pushdown, even a seated shoulder press. All of these exercises should be done with the same posture.
Wow. You know what? That alone is worth the price of admission. I'm sitting here right now, and I just pulled my chest up and my back, like you said, like if I was doing a seated row. When I do a seated row, I always imagine I'm trying to pinch a pencil that's vertical in between my scapulas. You know what I mean? I always imagine like... And I'm doing that right now, and my shoulders roll back. And do you know what? The pain in the front heads of my shoulders go away when I do that.
Eventually, it will become second nature to you, and you will walk like that all the time. At first, you might feel silly. When I first started to adopt that into my routine, I said to myself, I feel silly. I feel like I'm walking like I'm trying to make my chest look bigger, like I'm trying to look bigger than I really am.
Right, right. Right.
But that's actually proper posture. That's the way that you're supposed to walk. You're not supposed to have your arms slouched forward.
Right.
And everyone in the military actually has that posture. They teach you that in the military. That is considered proper posture.
Okay.
Now, so from one and two, we move on to, and this is another one that's indirect but very, very important, focus on the non-mirror muscles. This is a common thing that I see people do is they spend all their time trying to build this chest, and they actually overtrain it, not focusing on the back enough. Now, if you start focusing on your back and rear delts more, it will pull everything back, help you increase your posture, and give you more balance. When you have imbalances, you will have injuries. The key is balance. And by focusing on these muscles that you can't see, the non-showing muscles, it'll translate into your chest training.
I think we should just take that a step further. My back is much stronger than my chest, but I have a feeling that even my back movements have not been done right because I'm not paying adherence to proper posture. I don't want to keep going back to that, but I really think that posture is the core of this, isn't it?
It's very, very important. I try to maintain that posture on all my rowing exercises. I've seen guys row a lot of weight, but they let their shoulders slouch all the way forward.
And they're really hitting their brachials, you know what I mean? When you look at them, they're not really even hitting their back, are they?
Exactly. You want to, when you are contracted, when your back is contracted, even doing a bent over barbell row, you may be bent over to the floor, but your chest should still be in that arched up position, and your shoulders should be pinched all the way back when you're fully contracted.
Gotcha.
You can pull your arms back and pull the bar or machine to your stomach or chest without pulling your shoulders back, and you're not getting the maximal contraction.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, from there, number four, and this is huge. This is something that I actually had to toy around with for a while, and it's going to be different for everyone based on their body type, but a narrow grip placement goes a long way when training your chest.
Really?
Yes. Now, we've always been taught that a wider grip placement is ideal. And a wider grip, yes, you're going to be able to press more weight because it's a shorter range of motion. It's a shorter way the weight has to travel. But if you think about it, number one, when your grip is closer, you have to stretch the muscle more. And the farther you can take the muscle through a range of motion, the more it's going to get worked. Number two, when you take a very, very wide grip, when you're taking the weight down, the wider your grip, it actually pulls your shoulder out more if you think about it.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. You feel it more. You feel it more in your shoulders when you go wider.
Mm-hmm. Even if you just to test it for yourself, you know, take a light weight, a weight that you can do, say, 20, 25 times, no problem, on the bench press, and feel the difference between a very wide grip and a very close grip. Now, we've been taught that the closer grip is going to activate the triceps more, which I'll get into later on when we get into the list. But you're also going to stretch the chest a lot more and take the muscle through a farther range of motion, which takes me to my next, number five, is proper range of motion. You always want to travel through the farthest range of motion possible, and if your chest is in the proper posture like we talked about before, you're going to get a probably extra inch or two range of motion on every exercise that you do.
So you don't believe that it's adequate to kind of do like these partial reps to hit your chest and keep your triceps out of it and all that other BS that a lot of people try?
I think that it's very, very important to work, no matter what muscle you work, work that muscle through the farthest range of motion that it can possibly work. Now, I do think there are times when partials play a nice role in training. They're a nice addition to your training. But anything different is going to be a nice addition to your training.
Right, any change up.
The meat and potatoes of your workout should be proper form taken through a full range of motion. And now my full range of motion, this is going to bring me into my next point, is full extension without lockout. I do not believe in locking the press out.
So when you say locking the chest, you mean locking the shoulders? I mean the elbows out, you mean? Locking the elbows?
No locking of the elbows. Now, I don't mean stop at halfway. I mean you press as far as you can until you're about to fully lock out and extend the arms. And then you continue back down again. You continue the descent back to the negative. When you lock your arms out, you're the most powerful in that position. It's like when you see these figure skaters, they hold the women over their heads so easily. It's easy to hold, you know, somebody over your head when your arm is completely locked out.
Right.
But I don't think that any of these, you know, little figure skater guys would be able to hold those women at three quarters of lockout. It's much, much, much harder because the muscle is working so much harder. When you're fully locked out, now the shoulder joint is put under a tremendous amount of stress.
Because the weight is going directly in a straight line from the palm of your hand right into the shoulder joint, isn't it?
Exactly, and we want to avoid that. We just want to work our chest. We don't want to tax our shoulder joints anymore.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
So what this is going to do now is that this is going to keep continuous tension on the muscle. So just before you're about to lock out, where you would actually be resting for a second because you'd be fully locked out, the weight would be really transferred off of your chest back down onto your shoulder joint, you would start the descent again, and you really don't have any rest, so the muscle actually has to work a lot harder to do the workload.
So you'll probably have to use a little bit lighter weight than you think you're going to use.
You will at first, but like anything, you'll get used to it and you'll be able to progress quite a bit. For me now, at this point, when I'm training very heavy, if I want to rest for a second, I'll lock out, but ideally I don't want to rest. I want to keep the muscle under stress and tension as long as possible because my brain is going to have to single other muscle fibers to work to help me do this because it's so much more taxing.
Now, are we talking about using a straight bar with a lot of these, or are we talking about using dumbbells?
It's all pressing movements. Barbell, dumbbell, okay. Machines, hammer strength. I do not feel you should lock out on anything.
Okay.
Next point, this would be point number seven.
Seven, right.
Stick with incline movements. This is huge.
Really? Now, I would have thought that incline movements put a greater strain on the shoulders.
Most people think that because you're more upright, similar to a shoulder press. But actually, a flat press, a flat, especially barbell bench press, is a very unnatural motion for your arms to move. Now, if you ever look at somebody press from the side, a proper press should be done in an arcing motion. It's not a straight line.
Right.
And if you look at an incline, the arc is a lot more natural than it is on the flat. When you have a heavy amount of weight pressing straight down on you, it's a tremendous amount of stress on the anterior delts. That's why most big bench pressers have great anterior delts and not necessarily the best chests.
Right.
I was a competitive powerlifter, and this was very common to see these great bench pressers with huge anterior delts, but really not the most impressive chests. And these are guys that spend all their time flat barbell bench pressing. Now, I actually was a powerlifter when I was young and spent all my time barbell bench pressing. That was a lot of the reason that I had shoulder injuries, was from all those heavy bench presses. When I rehabbed my shoulder, the doctor had told me, he suggested that I focus more on inclines because ergonomically it's a more natural motion.
Well, especially when you talk about that arc that you said, because when you're on a flat bench press, the arc starts from maybe somewhere below the rib cage, between the rib mm-hmm. cage and the navel, back up to where like the neck or eyes are. So that's a really weird place for your shoulders. But you're right, when you're in an incline position, it's a slightly less of an arch. And it actually from over the eyes down to the upper chest, as opposed to all the way down to below the rib cage.
And if you think about it from a postural standpoint, it's much easier to have the proper posture on an incline motion than it is flat.
Yeah.
Because flat, you've really got to get quite a bit of an arch in your back and really, really tuck the scapula down to have your chest opened up to where it's taking the stress off your shoulders the proper way.
Uh-huh.
Most people aren't going to do that. Most people are going to lie their back flat on the bench and just press. That's actually really, really shortening the range of motion of your chest because your shoulders are using so much of the work. And we want to try to take the shoulders out, especially if we have a shoulder injury. We can focus on shoulders on their own individualized day, but we're trying to build chest here, so we want to take the shoulders out and work the chest as hard as it can possibly work.
Right. This is quite counterintuitive. You know, I'm still sitting here thinking about it because I've been pre-programmed to think that if you don't want your shoulders in the action, then you have to stay with a flat bench press. But I'm thinking about what you're saying, and I'm thinking about the key here is, in order to maintain the postural effect, the incline really is a better movement. Now that I had to think through it, I'm visualizing it, the kinesiology of it. I'm thinking, you know, you're right. If you really want to keep your chest pushed up high, your back arched, your scapulas pulled back, it's a lot easier to do that in an incline motion than on a flat bench. In order to do it on a flat bench, you got to plant your feet up under your butt. You got to really, really overextend the arch in your back.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're almost pushing in a decline plane, if you will, when you get into that position.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. All right, look, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick up with 8, 9, and 10, and then we'll talk about preferred movements. We're talking today with PJ Braun. PJ is now a sponsor of Superhuman Radio. If you ever want to use his services to get yourself into shape, you can reach him by going to his website, pjbraun.com. That's pjbraun.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. PJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to PJBraun.com today. That's PJBraun.com. Strength, recovery, and growth are the goals, and Progenix is the way. Progenix represents advanced dairy science, research, development, and biotechnology that liberates and concentrates the most effective fractions of protein. The results are increased muscle torque, faster recovery, and greater muscle growth. You won't find these ingredients in any other supplement on the market. Take the challenge. Go to PROGENEXSRG.com to learn more about the benefits and science behind the Progenix products. Train harder than you've ever trained before. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Progenix banner ad to save 10% off your order. Progenix, where fantasy games meet science.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Peace up. A-Town down.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is national competitive bodybuilder and personal trainer PJ Braun. We're talking about building a massive chest around injured shoulders. We just covered the importance of the incline bench press as opposed to the flat bench press, which was number 7. Where do we go from there, PJ?
Number 8, this is a very, very important one. Utilize the dumbbells.
Yeah.
Now, whether you are flat, incline, a fly, the dumbbell puts you in a position to move it in a place where it does not hurt. Whereas with a barbell, you're very restricted. You
right.
grab the barbell, and if you have a dominant side that isn't injured, it's always going to take over, and you can actually make the imbalances worse. The dumbbell, you can get your scapula in the proper position, and you can press the dumbbells in a spot where it's more comfortable for you. Everybody's body is different. Some people have much longer arms than others. So we have to play around with this and figure out where it feels best for you to work the chest the right way without causing any injuries.
Well, and you can even pronate. You can pronate and supinate your wrists if that's a more natural movement for you and keeps the shoulders out of it. I mean, yeah, I'm a big believer in the dumbbells. The only problem I have with the dumbbells, PJ, is getting the heavier dumbbells. I try to lay down and throw the dumbbells up into the air, so I'm starting from the top, coming down like a bench press would, as opposed to starting with the dumbbells in my chest. Because when I start with them in my chest, that's when I tend to hurt my shoulders right off the bat.
Yes, what I do, there's a couple options that you have here. If you have a partner or somebody that you trust in the gym, it makes a huge difference. If you're training on your own, that makes things a little trickier. If you're training on your own anyway, I suggest that you really not go maximal with the amount of weights that you use and actually just keep your pace up more, which is number 9 on my list anyway.
Right.
If you're training with a partner, this is what I do. I have a very, very bad right shoulder. So what I do when I'm using dumbbells, even I can handle 130, 140-pound dumbbells for presses with strict form, but what I do is I take my bad side, the right side, and I use both of my hands to position the dumbbell in the spot that I want it. And once I am positioned, I train with guys that are, you know, fairly strong.
Right.
I have my partner hand me the other dumbbell. So I don't have to worry about anything other than closing my hand around that. And I have them handed to me in the position that I'm ready to press in. And I've been doing this for years. And I do it with all the people that I train, my clients, that have, you know, now gotten much stronger from training with me. I have them get one side up, and I hand them the other side in the press position. Now, I find that people that have current shoulder injuries, if they can get one dumbbell up to extension first, and then you hand them the other side at extension, at that point, your arms are locked out, so you're very, very strong. And I know we talked about not doing this, but this is just for the start of the motion. At that point, you can lock your scapula into position, get your chest up, and then get into the motion. Now, this is if you have a partner.
Right.
If you don't have a partner, what I suggest is starting with the weights on your thighs, right above your knee, on your quads.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to do is you're going to kick your knees up. Use the force of your legs to use the momentum to get the dumbbells moving up, and you're going to kind of have to catch it in the right position at the top. I think it's obviously something that you'd have to see or witness or try yourself to really get what I'm saying.
I actually what I do. I start out in a seated position with the dumbbells just above on the front of my thighs, right mm-hmm. above my knees, and I throw myself back and kick my knees up at the same time, and literally let my legs guide the dumbbells into the horizontal, into the vertical position. But the problem I have with that is with my left shoulder, which is the worst, the most painful, stabilizing and catching the weight at the top. Because, you know, naturally the weight wants to keep on traveling over your head. And so you have to stop it. I really think, and I got to go on the record and say this, I think that if you have troubled shoulders, you really do need someone to help you get into position, because getting into position can be where you keep re-injuring yourself as opposed to the movement itself. That's just my own humble opinion.
Very, very important. I have a spotter, whether I'm training chest or shoulders, that I have, no matter what the weight is, if it's something that I feel is dangerous, I have them help me get into proper position.
Bingo.
First.
Bingo.
And then I start the execution of my repetitions.
What do you think about those dumbbell hooks that you hook them on the? You ever see those?
Yes, I have. Those are fine. Anything, you know, I'm fine with all kinds of tools in the gym: straps, wraps, things like that. They have their place. I'm not one of these people that thinks that, you know, you shouldn't use any kind of hook or strap because it takes your grip out of it. I could really care less.
Well,
about
the dumbbell hooks I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about? They're the ones that you actually hang the dumbbells from a bar. Like you go to a bench press bar where the bar is.
I haven't seen those. Yeah,
they clip onto the stem of the dumbbell.
Okay.
They narrow your grip area just slightly, and they're like a long hook, almost like a longshoreman's hook, and you actually hang the dumbbells from the bench press bar. You get on the bench, you get under it, and so it's up there already. You just have to unlatch them and start pressing with them.
Okay.
Yeah, so I may try to look into those for myself. Okay. So now that was number 9, wasn't it?
Number 9 is keep up the pace.
Ah, okay. So what do you mean by that?
Most people spend too much time in the gym. Now, the best way to bring up a lagging body part is to hit it hard and fast.
Mm.
The longer that you take in between your sets, the more the muscle can fully recuperate. So essentially, you're really just working those same fibers over and over and over. To really, really tap into these deeper muscle fibers, these extra fibers, I believe you actually have to perform sets consistently when you are not recovered. This is going to send a message that you have to work harder to complete the workload. Now, you will find that you are not going to be as strong like this. But the objective for me and for you, and I think for the people that we're talking to right now, is not necessarily to be strong pressing weight. It's to look good and to build our chest. That is our focus. So, equal out the door, it's not about lifting real, real heavy, resting until you can do it again. It's about stimulating this muscle so much that it has no choice to grow. So, what I recommend people do at first is keep a either stopwatch or clock handy. Eventually, you won't need it. You'll just know by instinct. And for your compound heavier exercises, to take no longer than 90 seconds, which, believe it or not, in my opinion, is a long time, between your heavier moves. Now, for your isolation moves, I don't believe that you should need more than 45 seconds.
Yeah, most people recover pretty quickly if they spend any time in the gym, too. I mean,
if you're somebody that's doing a set, getting a drink, talking for 2-3 minutes, and then going back and doing a set again, you're not going to get the results that you want. You're just simply working these same fibers over and over again. You're not going to improve the way you want to. You need to stimulate this muscle so much and make it so tired that it has no choice but to respond to what you're doing.
And the reason behind that is because when you start out the next set with a still partially fatigued muscle, even if it's only 10 to 20% fatigue, that means that muscle has to recruit 10 to 20% new muscle fibers to compensate for what's not kicking in gear, right?
Exactly. There's actually studies out now that show that by training at a faster pace like that, which I've actually done all along, your body will release more growth hormone. It's actually like two or three times more than training at a regular pace.
And this was something that Vince Gironda was one of the first people to really hook into. He was a big proponent of moving fast in between movements. And as a matter of fact, Aaron Singerman said that when he came to train with you, that was one of the things that he had to get caught up on, because you move very fast in between movements, don't you?
Yes, very, very fast. And a lot of people will comment that, oh, you're not as strong as I expected you to be. And I say to them, well, number one, I'm not a strength athlete. I'm a bodybuilder. I'm trying to build my body. And this is how I feel is the best way to build a body. And usually those people that are stronger than me, when they train with me, they actually wind up having to cut their weights back very, very, very much.
Keeping that pace, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, very good.
I've trained with some really, really strong powerlifters. I train at a powerlifting gym on Mondays when I train my legs. And there's a young kid. His name is James. And he's very, very strong. And every now and then he'll come train legs with me. And now he's used to squatting very, very heavy, you know, sets of four or five, and then resting for 5 minutes and then doing it again. And he can lift, you know, one or two or three reps. Very, very heavy for his size. But when he trains with me, it's a very fast pace and more repetitions. And every time he has trained with me, three quarters of the way through the workout, he has been laid out on the floor dying, with me having to drag him on to the rest of the workout.
Yeah, and personally, in my opinion, that is a much more usable source of strength. That's the kind of strength that you really need in life, the kind that moves fast, because life doesn't give you a chance to catch your breath. So if you want functional strength, that's what you have to do. All right, let's hit number 10 before we go into the last break.
Okay, number 10, this is very, very simple. Avoid painful exercises.
Yeah.
If it hurts, don't do it.
Yeah, that's important.
For me, I really can't do a regular bench press that often, so I don't do it. I don't sit there and try to work through the pain. That is a mistake that people, I'm going to push through the pain. That is a mistake. You're making it worse. Most people with a shoulder injury should not do upright rows or dumbbell pullovers. Those two are the worst. Military presses are not good. Flat barbell bench presses are not great. Now, I love to barbell bench press, but it hurts me, so I simply can't really do it that often. I don't try to push through the pain anymore. That just simply makes the injury worse.
I know it really is a dumb idea, right? Because pain is a signal to tell you not to do that. But yet we think that, well, if I push through the pain, somehow I will supercompensate and overcome it.
There are so many different variations of exercises and machines and different types of equipment now that you could try that aren't painful. There's no sense sticking with something that really, really hurts you.
Yeah. No, that's valuable right there. All right. So we're going to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, we will finish up with PJ Braun. We're talking today about building a massive chest around injured shoulders. Visit PJ's website if you want to see an amazing physique on a young man. PJBraun.com. We'll be right back. Strength, recovery, and growth are the goals, and Progenics is the way. Progenics represents advanced dairy science, research, development, and biotechnology that liberates and concentrates the most effective fractions of protein. The results are increased muscle torque, faster recovery, and greater muscle growth. You won't find these ingredients in any other supplement on the market. Take the challenge. Go to progenexsrg.com to learn more about the benefits and science behind the Progenics products. Train harder than you've ever trained before. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Progenics banner ad to save 10% off your order. Progenics, where fantasy games meet science. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, nutrition.com, Planet and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences Uprising. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. Turinabol from primordialperformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. PJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to pjbraun.com today. That's pjbraun.com. A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
Build muscle. Burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
How y'all feel out there?
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with PJ Braun about building a massive chest around injured shoulders, something he's been able to accomplish. And he is a professional at this. He makes his living in the world of bodybuilding. You have to take advice from a guy who makes his living building his body. All right, so we've summarized the top 10. Someone on Facebook just put a message up there asking what was number 11 that didn't make the cut. I don't know if that was supposed to be a joke or not, but was there something up there that that we left out?
I'm assuming that was a joke.
Okay. I didn't know if maybe he had some inside track on something like that. All right, so assuming that people keep up with this type of an approach, it is realistic to continue to build your chest. And maybe what we should do at a later date is do training shoulders. I think needs to be a follow up to this show. How do you train shoulders when your shoulders are injured? That in and of itself I think what we ought to do is plan that as being a next installment to this, because I kind of feel like we address training your chest with injured shoulders, but we don't want to ignore the shoulders, because nobody wants to have a giant chest and then little wooden coat hanger shoulders. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we'll definitely do that on a later show for sure. All right, now let's talk about a couple other things real quick. You are a sponsor of the show now. If people have questions, bodybuilding-related questions, I want you to email them to onair@superhumanradio.com or post them on my Facebook, PM me on Facebook, just search on Facebook for Carl Lenore, and we'll get PJ back on the show to answer those questions. And in the very near future, I'm going to be working with PJ, and he's going to critique my physique, and there's a lot to critique, actually. I look like Frankenstein, by the way. I have two different people's legs and arms and everything else that goes along with it. And you're going to whip me into shape over the upcoming months, and we'll post progress pictures and take people down this journey. And if you are out there and you're interested, in gaining the help of a professional. If you would like to take your body to the next level, if you're my age and you never did it and you thought, you know, before I check out off this planet, I want to get myself into that quality of shape, even if you never plan on standing on stage, you can retain PJ service. He's very, very economical, inexpensive to work with. He customizes his packages just for you. You go to PJ Braun, PJBraun.com. And start communicating with them there. Now, you actually have an upcoming event that you're doing this weekend, right?
Yes, I will be making a guest posing appearance at the Empire State, the NPC Empire State Bodybuilding Championships in Westchester, New York on Saturday.
Now, think back to your early days of bodybuilding when you were competing and then there was a guest poser, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the guest poser is generally worlds above the actual athletes that are in the competition and on stage, and that's why they're guest posing. And now here you are, you're guest posing at a lot of these events. How does that feel to you?
It's very surreal. You know, I mean, I remember the first guest poser that I ever saw, I was probably 19 or 20 years old, was Lee Priest. And to me, he was so much more advanced than the regular guys that were competing in the show, and I couldn't believe that somebody could even look like that. And you know, to the people with my men's mindset and the rest of the people in the crowd, you know, he was truly amazing to look at. And to think that now, you know, 10 years later or so, that I'm the guy that is wanted for that, you know, to be the, I guess, entertainment, you would call it, at the bodybuilding show, it's pretty surreal. It's pretty amazing, actually.
I want people to understand, if they haven't gone to your website already, and you really do have to go to PJ Braun's website to truly appreciate the quality of physique that this young man has built. I mean, it's when you look at what the human body can be taken to, the levels that it can be taken to, it's really, for most of us, when we look at it, we go, my God, you know. And you actually start to change your own goals. You think, wow, I could probably not necessarily look like that, but I could definitely look a lot better than I look right now. But I mean, you are well known within the bodybuilding community for having pretty big upper arms, correct?
Yes. One thing about my physique is I think that a lot of people can appreciate the way that I look for a number of reasons. I think that I've always strived to have a very athletic, but overly athletic look. It was never something to me to be just the biggest guy.
Right.
I mean, it's cool to be huge, of course, but to me, it wasn't about just simply being bigger. I wanted to have everything developed in a way where I thought it was appealing to man and woman, to a look that women would say, like, wow, I like the way that guy looks, and whereas men would say, I'd like to look like that. And I've constantly studied myself as something that you have to do if you're on the level that I'm at, to where I think needs more work. Not just, I like having big arms, so I'm going to make my arms bigger.
Right.
You know, I need to think, okay, I'm missing something here, or I have too much here, so maybe I need to focus more here. It's almost like building a sculpture.
I was just going to say, so it really is an artistic journey when you look at your body and you're trying to gain that flow and balance and that shape, that architecture, if you will. You're always trying to get that ideal, aren't you?
Yes.
Now, with that being said, I mean, the idea that you're guest posing at this event, will people come up to you and ask you for your autograph and stuff like that?
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't it true that you stay really close to contest shape? I mean, you're not one of those guys who gets overly bulked up in the off season, right?
I did that one time. And I did it following the 2008 season. And I will never, ever do that again. I got kind of caught up in the whole bigger is better, which I've never been a part of that. But you see some of these guys, you know, in the pros and the top national level are simply so big. And many of them get 50, 60 pounds over their contest weight out of season. So I force-fed myself. And, you know, to be honest with you, the whole time I did it, I couldn't stand the way I looked or felt. And when I would look at myself in the mirror, I was almost ashamed. You know, I didn't want to really take my shirt off and have people see what I look like. And, you know, to be a bodybuilder and be an ambassador for the sport, you would think that you could show people what you're supposed to look like at all times. And, you know, I wouldn't take my shirt off at one point. And it took me much, much more work to get in the shape that I wanted to be in to compete last year. And after that, I said, You know, that was the one time I've ever done that, and I'll never do it again. I actually tried to get fat. I accomplished it, and I will never do that. I will never do that again.
And now you stay very, very lean, but yet continue to make gains continuously, which a lot of people don't think is possible. It's also important to say that you do not abandon health. You're a big proponent of grass-fed beef. I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big proponent of the Paleolithic style of eating, correct?
Yep.
So it doesn't have to be all or nothing. You don't have to say, look, I want to build this physique and I'm going to abandon all that is sensible in pursuit of that. You actually have blended a healthy lifestyle. You're a big proponent of cardiovascular exercise, right?
Yes.
So most bodybuilders, they don't want to do cardio because they're afraid it makes them weaker, right?
Yes. You know, the cardio that I do is really not overly challenging. It's enough to keep my circulation healthy and to burn calories. It's not dramatic. I'm
right.
Not running.
Yeah, you're not a distance runner. Right, exactly. But I mean, you do cardio. Some bodybuilders don't do cardio at all because they're afraid that it's going to tax their ability to lift heavier.
This whole off season, I did cardio a minimum of 6 days a week. And I did a minimum of 30 minutes every morning, fasted. And I must say, this is the best I felt in all my years competing as I did this year. I felt I was able to eat more and stay leaner. And I felt my circulation was much better. I just felt healthier. I felt lighter on my feet, less sluggish. And it's something that I'm definitely going to continue with.
Now, did you make good gains in this off season?
I did. And it's interesting because when you're so heavy, you don't necessarily notice the gains that you're making until you start to diet.
Right.
And, you know, in the past, I would start dieting 16 weeks out, which is what I did this year as well. And it wouldn't really be until, you know, 10, 9, 8 weeks out where I'd really see the progress that I'd made from the year before. And I'll tell you, at this point, I can actually already see the progress within the first week of my diet just from dropping the water that I had been carrying from eating, you know, the excess food. Just from the first week, I dropped about 6 or 7 pounds of water, and I could really see everything a lot more clear. And I was like, wow, I haven't looked like this since it was probably 4 or 5 weeks before Nationals last year.
Wow.
And I still have 15 more weeks to go.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, that there's a lot to be said for not being a glutton in the off season and sticking to your plan and doing your cardio anyway. And there's a lot to be said for that. So there you go. That's great. That's great. All right. Well, listen, we're coming to the end of the show. If you would like to see PJ Braun, you're going to be at the Empire State NPC competition this weekend. Where is that?
The NPC Empire States this Saturday. It's in Westchester, New York. The address is, let me pull it up real quick. It's the Westchester County Center, 198 Central Avenue, and that's White Plains, New York. Westchester, it's pretty easy for anybody in New York or New Jersey to get to.
Yeah, yeah. And then so you can check out PJ Braun, introduce yourself, tell him you heard him on Superhuman Radio today, and say hello. And then if you need help, if you're interested in taking your physique to the next level, if you would like to look like a bodybuilder but not necessarily be a bodybuilder, you can reach PJ Braun at his website at pjbraun.com and feel free to ask him questions, get in touch with him, and let him help you build the body that you've always dreamed of. And if you have questions about training, you can email onair@superhumanradio.com and we'll have PJ Braun on to answer your questions. PJ, thank you so much for making time to be on Superhuman Radio.
Oh, thank you so much, Carl. It was an honor. You really have a great show.
Thanks a lot. And we will see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.